Morning at Skinner Chapel, I shared goals for the year, and the message this morning was kind of for a church body. I think a lot of the people that were in attendance this morning, some of you, have been church people most of their life, and I felt like God gave me what I was to have this morning, and I feel like I had what I was to say this morning. Had goals, I actually had six, I used three of them, and I was going to do the other three tonight. I am going to do that somewhat, but I'm going to go a little different direction. I just felt today that God was stirring me. I try to lay down a little bit on Sunday afternoons and rest, and did get a little rest, but I also was just felt kind of stirred. And there's probably one point in particular I'm going to spend quite a bit of time on. This morning I mentioned to the church there at Skinner, goals for 2013. These are goals that I'm recommending to you. You certainly want to set your goals between you and the Lord of what He wants from you this year, but looking at the body of Christ and seeing the situation we have across America and the American church, I really see a need for some things, and I think there's a desperate need to be led of the Spirit. We've got an interesting church. I don't mean it in a disrespectful way, but the American church is an interesting creature. There's lots of faces to it, lots of movements today. I think there's everything imaginable under the name of Christianity. I do believe that we live in perilous times. I believe that we're living in the days, nearing the days of Matthew 24. I personally believe that many of us, I don't know if it's my generation or not, I'll be 58 in March, but I believe we're probably going to see the fall of the wonderful country we've enjoyed. I just hate to say it, but unless there's a repentance and a turning back to God, not that we were always any perfect nation, that's certainly not the case. There was lots of sin interwoven in our forefathers that we know for sure about. The devil always infiltrates every camp, but I believe there were basic principles and foundational things that God blessed us because we did and proclaimed. Things that go with the territory. God is faithful to His word, and there's certain things that God says, if you do this, I will do this. And He's faithful to His word. And so there are blessings that we've experienced as a country as a result of those stands. And I personally believe that, I get shot at for this teaching, but I believe, and you're under no obligation to agree with me on this particular issue, I can't quote chapter and verse for what I'm getting about to say, but I believe that 9/11 was a very, very significant time in this country, and I think that we have lost our covering that we once had. And that is the answer, in my opinion, to the big question of what has happened. There are things that go with the territory. If you study this, I would challenge you to take on what I said and really think about it. Other countries of the world, Haiti, for example, African countries where witchcraft and voodoo has been the religion, they've been under horrible things happening for a long time because they ran out the Lord, so to speak. Now, God is ultimately going to have the final say, but the Holy Spirit is grieved, and when a nation says that we don't want your word present in our schools, you're not going to pray in our schools, we don't want any of your statements on our lawns, when we begin to say that, God begins to pull away. And in America, there are a remnant of people, I believe, who very much are seeking God. And I believe God is stirring, and if I may say prophetically, the Spirit of Elijah, the Holy Spirit, is stirring and calling people. And I want to be part of that movement. But the Bible says in the last days, dangerous times will come, and many will fall away. Many of our megachurches, and certainly they're not all bad influence, don't misquote me by any means, there's some very large churches that are preaching the gospel, but there are also very large churches who are attracting hundreds and thousands that are not teaching a balanced gospel. There's no cross in it, there's no denial, there's no forsaking of sin, there's not a call to honoring God and walking in integrity. And we've become a big catch-all, and that's why in Revelation it talks about the great prostitute that I believe is the one-world religion that so many are going to get sucked into. And God is calling us, I believe, to come out. And I believe that 2013 is a crucial year in our own lives, if I may now move in locally here. I believe that we've taken some huge steps here recently, and going into a new season. And I believe that 2 years ago, when God asked me to take a year off and take some time to pray and prepare, and many of you were diligent in prayer about that, and God had given us the vision of Go Find James, and I thought that was just a service. I believe that this ministry we're launching together is Go Find James. It was bigger than I realized. And I believe that God is calling us out more than ever before to really, really follow and seek after Him. And so goals for the year for you personally are critically important. But looking at the American church, I think there's a desperate need for people to seek the leading of the Holy Spirit, to be led of the Holy Spirit. I'm not going to spend any time on that. I preached on that at length this morning and went through some points. I secondly said that I believe another notable, honorable goal, being Jesus to your family. My mother always said Christianity begins at home, and I want to be a better father, husband, Christian in the home than I've ever been before. And I would encourage you to buy into that goal this year, being Jesus to your family. Fathers, God's calling us. Husbands, God's calling us to be the priest of the home. I believe that men need to step up in leadership and not let the wife and mother be the spiritual force in the home, but the man be the one who calls the family to prayer time, calls the family to attend, assemble together, fail not to assemble yourselves together, take the initiative to take your family to church to assemble. The scripture does say, fail not to assemble yourselves together. And it says, all the more as you see the day approaching. As you see the coming of the Lord coming, all the more assemble. So it's very scriptural that we would get together more, and we're going to have lots of opportunities for assembling in the months ahead with the various things we're offering in the ministry here locally. I believe we're trying to do our job here. I don't know what everybody else is supposed to do everywhere else, but I believe our job here is to be a lighthouse in a mission to those around us. So being led of the Spirit, being Jesus to your family. Now, tonight, I want to take off with point 3, 4, 5, and possibly a 6th one. I won't let our time get away from us. I want to be conscious of that. This morning, I kind of went a different direction. There's so much that could be said about courage. But tonight in the office there for 30 minutes or so, we got done practicing a little early, and I just felt like I needed to be alone. And I went in alone, and I felt, God, you're stirring me. I don't want to be tied to my notes. I don't want to be tied to what I wrote early this morning or yesterday or Friday. And I felt God was stirring me, and I believe I have the oracle or the burden of the Lord or something tonight. I believe, men and women tonight, that God is calling us in 2013 to lay hold of courage. To lay hold of courage. Now, this morning, talking more to a crowd that many have been in church all of their life, I went a little different direction. And I'll touch on that, but I talked about how that we live in a society that's so hesitant to call it, and I think that needed to be said, especially in a church setting with people that have been in church years and years and years and years. There's the great blending going on, as I referred to a few moments ago, with a big catch-all, and I think I need to say something about that, and then I want to go from there. But I believe that God is calling us to have courage, to break some ties, to clean house, certainly, but to speak out. I want to start there with you tonight. I believe He's calling us to speak out more than ever before in a spirit of love, in a spirit of compassion, in a spirit of deeply caring, not in a critical spirit. You know, you can speak out and say your piece in a critical way. You can speak out and speak truth and bash people with it. We've all heard it said you can beat people over the head with the Bible. That's not what we're talking about. And there's been way too much of that. I'm talking about a burdened man and woman who sense what's happening in their society around them, but have the courage to call it. And I addressed this morning, and it's not an easy subject, but I think it needed addressed, a venomous poison, if I may repeat this, a venomous poison that's in our society today. You've got to be alerted to this. A venomous poison that's in our society today is this idea that if you call something that God has said, you are judging. You know, the Bible says that fornication is sin. So if you call that and you say that that is the fact, People's reaction is, you're judging me. No, that's already been judged. This morning I gave, I think, the very clear example that the Bible says that lying is sin. My friend, we're not judging if we say lying's wrong. If someone lies, and it's a lie, and we know that it's a lie, it's not wrong to say that's sin. It's already been decided. The verdict's already been passed on that. It's written in here. Now, there's a venomous poison in our society. It's infiltrating the church where if you make a call on something, everybody's answer is you're judging. If it's already been, if the verdict's been passed and God has already declared it a certain way, you're not judging. No, you're just agreeing with the verdict. You're just stating what he's already said. And I think that does need emphasized, and just felt tonight I needed to hit that again, because one of the things that the Bible speaks of in 2 Timothy about the last days is that, and throughout the book of Timothy, this is addressed various places, and Timothy's encouraged to have sound doctrine because there'll be mixed up thinking. There'll be mixed up thinking, and boy, do we ever have that in our world today. And so it's a spirit-led Christian is a Christian who lovingly and compassionately calls it. But it's not a brash harshness. It's not a beating them over the head with the Bible, so to speak. It's an attitude of compassion and mercy. That thing has too much weight on it and keeps slipping down. So we'll put this over here. It's very important that you understand that. So tonight I want to kind of now go another direction. I want to emphasize that, but I want to talk about laying hold of courage. And I hope with enabling of the Holy Spirit, and Guy, I would ask you, you have a ministry of prayer right there in your seat to be praying as I'm preaching, that I believe you're my right arm in that sense in prayer. And I feel something stirring, that I have something here from God, but it is God that has to get it across. We need to lay hold of courage in 2013 as Christians. A big key in this ministry, in the Go Find James, is to lay hold of courage. Take in the broken. Take in the hurting. Invite and love and tenderly love and care for the person with a destroyed life, but not lack the courage to tell them the truth. We have to find that balance. My friends, that's a difficult thing. Because the tendency is because we care about them and because tears do run down their face and they have a broken life, it's easy to water down the truth rather than look them in the eye and say, this is the truth. You can't do this. This is not right. Faithful the wounds of a friend. I always have loved that verse, and that's been my strength many times when I've had to confront someone. Those are the hard things in the ministry. Faithful the wounds of a friend. What does that mean? That means a true friend might wound you, but they tell you the truth. And I want to be about truth. Lay hold of courage. Joshua chapter 1 says, after the death of Moses, and I'll move this back and forth every now and then just so it'll hold, because it runs out. Joshua chapter 1 says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land that I'm about to give you. This is the brief story. Moses has died. And God is commissioning Joshua. Remember who Joshua was. It was Joshua and Caleb that when the spies went in to seek out the promised land, remember there were 12 spies. Was it 12 or 10? Somebody help me out. Nobody knows? I can't remember if it was 10 or 12. Right when I said 12, something said 10. 10. I think it may have been 10. 12 disciples, I guess, maybe. But anyway, Kevin says it's 12. Okay. With Joshua and Caleb. Okay, anyway, 12. 10 of them had doubt and fear. 10 of them went into the land and came back and said, oh, it's a beautiful land. It is a land of milk and honey, but you might as well forget it. We're not going to be able to do this. And I think that in our ministry, if you'll receive this tonight, I think we're on the verge of a crossover. I think that God's wanted to take us into new territory, but the reality is there's some Jerichos there. This isn't just going to be having milk and honey. We're going to be crossing over into the enemy territory. When you decide to go find James, and you know that James is in the condition he's in, you're going to get on the devil's territory because the devil's had James for a long time, and he's not interested in letting go of it. And I find that when you work with the most broken people, that the devil will fight you the hardest. People sometimes say to me, Pastor, you've been stressed most of your life. Well, I spent most of my life working with troubled people. And I'm going to tell you, and I always haven't had the faith I have, so part of it's my own fault, and I've had anxieties that I shouldn't have had. But I want to say here, the testimony, Bob, of you and the testimony events that you shared earlier, and many others could too, when guys are brought back from the brink of hell, literally. Vince Darlin, I know well from seeing you on the front of the paper the condition that you were in, and I know you don't mind me saying that, but you're a trophy of God's grace and what He can do. But when you seek to salvage and be part of salvaging that level of darkness, that breaks strongholds. And you are going to fight the enemy. And I feel like God's been saying to me, men and women of Chapel Ministers Outreach and Skinner Chapel, and we're becoming one, and we're becoming in focus, and you're going to find too that will push the enemy lines back because we got our unity back. You need unity. You need the strength of unity. The devil will isolate you. You need the strength of each other. I encourage you to come to services. Be involved. Get involved in the sessions. Come Sunday morning. Come Sunday evening. Come as much as you can. You need that fuel. And I know schedules are busy and hectic, but I believe God is calling us to lay hold of courage. Moses, my servant, is dead. He said, now you go and take this lamb that I promised you. And I believe He's calling us. I remember as a young man in such admiration of my father. This is a very personal thing, but I remember as a young man with such admiration of my father. Dad was here, he could do this. If Dad was here, he could do this. And I remember when God spoke to me in a commissioning time. And I had to, I'd actually, Dad had had an area of ministry he felt I should go in, and his intentions were well, but I even went and experimented and went overseas to experiment to see if maybe if this ministry, because I didn't think Dad could be wrong. And I thought, boy, if he thinks I should do it, he's got a lot hotter connection than I do. Certainly it is, but I felt like what God was doing there was He needed to talk directly to me. And I went over to Haiti, and I spent some time there. And while I was there, God spoke to me one night by the ocean, late at night. And I knew in my heart that God had called me to preach to the American church. And that maybe at another time in life I would do some missionary work, but that God had called me and given me something for the American church. And I'm saying that to you to say that I felt commissioned at that point, and I knew that even though Dad had been a mighty man of God that had been used tremendously, and there'll be a lot of people in heaven through his ministry, I knew that God had connected with me in that setting and that I had heard from Him. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now you go, and as I was with Moses, I'll be with you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers. Be strong and very courageous, and be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Be not terrified. Be not discouraged. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goes. Laying hold of courage. As a ministry, I believe God is calling you individually. Guys, men, you're the priest of the home. Women here, some of you that are just getting started. Some of you, they're wrestling with addictions and coming out of things. And I know, I can see it in your eyes. You got, I call out names, I won't. But I know some of you, I can see it in your eyes when I shake your hand. You got a desire to be what you should be. Break the ties with the past. Put it behind you. Don't burn up your energy, sweating over all that stuff. Put it behind you. Take it to the cross. Leave it there. Lay hold of courage. It's a new year. Quit doing what you've done in the past. Put it behind you. If you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. If you always do what you've always done, you will always get what you always got. People say, well, I have the same old stuff. Well, you're doing the same old thing. Me, you, whoever. Keep doing the same thing you're doing. You're going to have the same thing 10 years from now. 15 years from now, we're going to be having the same conversation. Isn't it sad when you sit down with somebody and you have the same conversation you had with them 20 years ago? You ever been through that? You sit down with somebody and they start pouring out their troubles. You think, oh, good grief, we were talking about this 20 years ago. Because we haven't done any new thing. It's time to lay hold of courage and step out. Courage is an absence of fear. You say, oh, Pastor, I don't have courage. People don't know what the definition of courage. Courage is an absence of fear. When I asked my brother-in-law, I walked point in Vietnam and was hit by shrapnel, and if the bomb hadn't delayed, it would have killed him. And some of the things he experienced, I said, Jesse, were you afraid? He said, Tom, I was scared to death. But we had a whole troop full of rookies, and I was the only one with any experience, and I had to offer to walk point. It wouldn't have been right, but I was scared to death. But I prayed and asked for wisdom and began walking and leading the men out of the area that we were in. There's booby traps everywhere. Courage isn't the absence of fear. Courage is going ahead despite of fear. And I believe that God is calling us to lay hold of courage. Courage to clean house. I don't know what you need to do, but breaking the ties with the past. You know what? God's faithful. He's speaking to you as I'm talking. Encouraged to speak out. And I talked about that quite a bit this morning. Now I'm going to move on to the next point. Devil. To stand up to the devil. I say this, my vocabulary isn't that good. Wish it was better. I say this with a sense of awe, kind of, I don't want to say sense of reverence because we're talking about the devil here. But I say it with a sense of awe. Because you know, the other disciples came back and kind of smarted off. I think they were, hopefully that isn't misquoting, but I thought they were maybe a little bit cocky after they'd been sent out and Jesus given power, and they came back and said, the devils are subject to us. And Jesus said, I saw Satan as fire fall from heaven. If I understand the context of that verse, I think that's what that's saying. Don't want to misquote the scripture, even in context and the way it's said. But that's the feel I get over the years as I've read that. They came back and said, why, even the devils are subject to us. He had given them power, so therefore the devil was subject to them. But Jesus turned to him and said, I saw Satan as fire fall from heaven. What he was saying to you, recognize who you're dealing with here. We don't fear the enemy. But I'm not one to joke and laugh and make light of the enemy either. He's a real force. And he breaks lives. And he's out to kill and destroy. Jesus said he's a liar from the beginning, and when he lies, he's speaking his native language. Wow. I believe in Jesus' name, and it's through Jesus in the blood of Christ, that we need to stand up to the devil. James chapter 4. Stay with me. Verse 7. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. I feel an urgency that in our ministry, and even a lot of you that have recently started to come, if I may address you just a little bit, I think there's some of you that just recently started to come that you're supposed to be here. And it's hard for me not just to come up to you and point at you and say, hey, you keep coming, you're supposed to be here. But I believe there's some of you that God is stirring, and He's stirring for a reason, and you're fairly recent in coming, but you're supposed to be here, and God has plans for you, and He wants to use you, but there's some individual things that need to be done in your own life. And one of those things is to lay hold of courage and to stand up to the enemy. Resist the devil. Don't underestimate the power of just sheer willpower. Spirit behind you just saying, no, I'll not go there. I'm breaking that tie from the past. I have here, stand up to him verbally. I've had time after time, hundreds of times in my life, where I'm driving down the street or walking down the street in a crowd of people, and along comes temptation through your mind from something you see or hear. I'll sometimes say out loud, don't even go there. A lot of times I say that to the enemy, don't even go there. We're not going there. Not interested. We're human beings. The devil comes at us through our five senses. Don't be confused by that. A lot of people say, well, if I was a Christian, why would I feel this way? You're human. You're flesh and blood. You have emotional feelings. You're going to have emotional impulses. That's life. We're human beings. We have to test you if you don't have those. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I believe God is calling a remnant out of America to a higher level of victory. Are you with me on that? And I believe that if we'll make that choice, it'll be incredible what God will do. But I think one of the reasons I have a heaviness about this topic is that I believe that the harvest is open to us. And I believe that in the next few years, God wants to do quite a harvest in this area. And I think we're the people for this particular area. But this issue we're talking about, if we don't take a hold of it, we're not going to get it done. The disciples who became apostles that changed the world. In this world, in this community, we have to have people that will lay hold of courage and say, you know what, I'm going to go there. My priorities aren't going to be earthly things. My priorities aren't going to be things of this world. I'm going to set a higher goal than this. I don't care what everybody does. And you say, well, I don't have the credentials. Neither do I. I got kicked out of high school. I'm proof God can use anybody. If you knew how weak I was, it'd scare you to death. I know that if you lay yourself out there, God will use you and amaze you at how he'll use you. Stand up to the devil. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. 1 Peter 5, 8 and 9. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are under the same kind of suffering. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are under the same kind of suffering. Especially with the times we're living in, Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, they overcame the devil. In verse 9, it says, the great dragon, Revelation 12, 9, the great dragon's been hurled down, the ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. He was hurled to earth. Then it says, it refers to him there as the accuser of the brethren. And it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Christ you're struggling with tonight. If you in your will, your human will make the decision, and that's what God waits on. I'm leaving that behind. I want to be an apostle. I want to go over the top. I'm going for the gold. If you simply will exercise your will and come to Christ with a humble spirit, God will give you incredible grace and strength, and we defeat the enemy through the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Stand up to the devil verbally. Then I have protect yourself and put yourself in situations of extreme accountability, because when we get serious, God gets serious. Group tonight, I know a lot of you have battled with all kinds of things, addictions and all kinds of things. Put yourself in a situation of extreme accountability. We're weak in the flesh. And said, I'm struggling horrible. I had a man a while back, no one here tonight. A while back come to me and tell me he had a horrible, horrible addiction to pornography. He said, it's destroying my life. Tears came up in his eyes. He said, I can see where it's going. I said, yeah, lust is never satisfied. That gets ugly real fast. That goes to another level real fast. That'll rot your soul. I got to put it behind me. How willing are you to put it behind you? First of all, resist the devil. Enemy by the word of our testimony, Revelation 12, in the blood of the Lamb. But then place yourself, practical advice, but powerful advice, put yourself in a situation of extreme accountability. And a third time, a fourth time, a couple of years went by, still struggling awful with this, can't put it behind me, on and on it goes. I'm not making light of it. Pornography is a horrible addiction. It gets messed up into the chemicals of the brain. People will tremble at the sight of a bookstore. I know a little bit about this. I've worked with a lot of people that have gone that road, so I'm not making light of it. Found out when that man was willing to set his computer in the room and first talk to his wife and confess to her the level of bondage he was in, and was willing to move the computer to the other side of the room with a full-size mirror across from it. And said to her, every time I get on the computer, I want you coming in this room and checking that mirror. He started finding victory. serious. He's a friend of Pastor Bishop's. Godly man, emotional man. Hearing Pastor Bishop talk about him sound like a man with somewhat of the emotional makeup that I have. So that tells you he was probably a basket case. Moses was a basket case when he started out. Think about it. And he came to Pastor Bishop and he said, I'm going through a horrible time of temptation. I've been a faithful Christian for years and years and I'm going through a horrible time of temptation. And he said, I made a decision. He was a pastor. Can somebody with me? Because I'm in a time right now where I'm vulnerable and I don't trust myself. That's a wise man. Being a Christian, being strong as a bull, it's recognizing your weaknesses and dealing with them. God gives you the wisdom to recognize your weaknesses and deal with them. And that man, for a year, whenever he did visitation, he took another man with him. They had guys in the church rotate that said they'd ride with him. As a pastor, guys, a lot of the guys like to hang out with him. And he did. What am I saying to you? I'm saying when we get serious, God gets serious. And standing up to the enemy. We need to break some ties. We need to clean house. Courage to break some ties. Courage to clean house. Courage to speak out. Stand up to the devil. Daddy used to tell a story. Max, you might remember this story. Forgotten all about it. Studying this week, it came back to me. I miss Dad more now than I ever have. I'm an ornery little boy. Dad probably thought of me when I was a kid when he told the story. And he had a bird in it. And he's carrying around showing it to everybody. And he had a stick. And he's other kids would laugh and watch. And Daddy acted out how the little boy, he'd stick the stick through the bars of the cage. The birds scramble, fly up to the corner. And he'd take a stick and keep poking him up there. And the bird would fly and scramble and lose part of his feathers and fly down here. And this is the corner. And the little kid, and they'd all laugh. And he'd poke at him and he kept it up. And an older man was standing there watching. And finally said to him, what are you going to do with that bird? He said, I'm just having fun with him. He's losing his feathers. He'll probably die. I'm just picking on him. The guy said, what do you take for that bird? Kid said, $1. Back then, $1's worth more. He gave the boy $1, walked away, and they all looked at him. Why would somebody? Because that'd been equal probably to $30 or $40 nowadays. And the man went over around the corner, and he opened the cage, let the bird fly out. Daddy used to say, that's what Jesus did for us. The devil wants to keep you in this box. He wants to poke you all through life and watch you flounder and watch you make mistakes and watch you losing half of your feathers and get frustrated out in the corner. And he wants to poke you again. Sometimes it's alcohol poking you. It's the same stick every time. I keep going back to the same thing. Sometimes it's some other kind of addiction. Sometimes it's some of the things I've referred to earlier in the message. Sometimes it's lustful things. It can be 1,000 things. But the enemy is wanting to corner us. But Jesus paid the price for us. And he's very willing to let us out of that cage. And grace is free. And we can come to Christ and find salvation. But then, as we fly free, it's through the truth that we're set free. It's in the truth that we stay free. Standing up to the enemy. Claiming your position. I've been set free. Part of laying a hold of courage is saying, I don't have to be in this cage. I don't have to be poked with this thing anymore. Sometimes it's a sin of the past. And the devil just loves to poke. Anybody been there? And he loves to just poke you with it, poke you with it, poke you with it. Well, if you hadn't have done this, and people live in regret and regret and regret, you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I want to see us in this ministry. Hold of that they're free in Christ. Lay hold of courage. Hang on. Start over. Courage. Eyes, What is God saying to you right now? I don't know why God keeps bringing me back to that tonight. What is it that God's saying to you? What do you need to go home and change? Maybe tonight you need to have a discussion with your spouse. Maybe tonight there needs to be something that you do in your home. That's not my business. I don't go around police people. But I'm going to tell you something. I know that if you'll honor God in your home and you'll honor God with what you have in your home and what you possess and what you take in for entertainment. We're not about legalism, but I am about amazing love. How can it be that a king would die for me and all I do, I honor you? It isn't about legalism. These people don't understand it. Say it's do's and don'ts. Oh, some people are hung up on do's and don'ts. That isn't what it's about. It's about, Lord, I want to honor you. When you get serious, God will get serious. And when God sees that you're serious, that you want to honor him, and maybe tonight you need to go home and have a discussion and say, you know what, let's set the kids down. I know it's 9 o'clock and the pastor preached a little long, but this is life-changing. Let's have a discussion with the family. It is 2013. It is the first Sunday of a new year. I want to lay hold of courage. I want to stand up for the devil. For the first time in my life, I want to really stand up. I want to fly out of this cage. I am tired of getting poked all the time with the same thing. You always do what you've always done. You'll always get what you always got. Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Anybody want to buy this? Lead someone to Jesus this year. Now that might seem like a point that doesn't fit very good. Now, Pastor, you're talking to people that you know, some of them are new, and some of them are battling addictions, and some of them are going things, and man, they're certainly not ready to be soul winners. That's not the camp I'm preaching out of. Don't take offense at that. And lead somebody to Jesus. The woman at the well, the same day she got saved, said, come, let me introduce you to somebody that told me everything I ever did. Same day. She brought the whole town back. Salvation is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. That's a pretty good definition. You remember that, Max? You get tired of me calling you out in the service. Max and Daddy were good friends. Appreciate Pam's dad. Is one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. Leading someone to Jesus. Been caged and spent a lot of our life getting poked with our past and our problems and our difficulties, and we haven't been free, and we got people all around us that are that way. Offer them truth. Lead someone to Christ this year. Who would God lay on your heart? I have a vision of, we want to begin a morning service in March, and we want to get our construction work done. Pray that that'll go smoothly and quickly. We get that behind. I hate that stuff. Pardon me, but I do. In a church, I despise building programs. I like to get them done, get them over with, because they're not the essentials. It isn't about buildings, but sometimes you need to do some things. And because we've approached it that way and tried to keep a spiritual priority through it all, and tried to make fun out of it and had meals together and actually gained in unity and fellowship while doing it, because of it, it seems like God has caused us to get them done quickly. We've had people say before, can't believe how quick that went. Well, we do seek very hard to get it behind us, because that's not the priority. But if we're able to be ready in March, and that's our goal, I want to begin a morning service here. Very much, I hate to copy phrases other people have, but I guess by definition, it might be proper to say our Sunday morning service will be somewhat of a seeker service. I hate copying other phrases, and plus people have different definitions of those things. But we want a morning service where people can come that are broken or hurting or have been wounded or bruised, and they can find hope in Christ. And Sunday evening we'll be doing something as well, and we're going to expand our sessions. And what's neat is that even though we have 5 sessions a week going on, that I only run a couple of them. So we're able to do it because God's sending us help, and I'm very appreciative of that. This year, who would you lead? You say, Pastor, I just flew out of the cage myself. But you can lead them to Jesus, the woman of the well, the same day. Who would you have? I believe God would call us to do that, because that's laying a hold of courage. It takes courage to go to somebody and say, come with me. But after March, we want to start once a month. We want to start a James service where the target that particular service will have a meal before and the target that particular service, or possibly a meal after, I'm not sure yet. But the target that service will be to bring somebody that's hurting and broken, that needs family, that needs love, that needs cared about. I want you to begin thinking in January. First of all, it starts at home. Mommy used to say, we're no better Christians than we are at home. We need to break some ties. We need to make some decisions. We need to have some discussions. We need to lay a hold of courage. We need to stand up the devil in our own life. But then there's nothing wrong with the same day you've done that, going and saying, hey, I found bread. You want to come with me? So I want to challenge you to be thinking in January and February and March, who is your James or Jane? Who is somebody that you could bring with you? Look in your community for the person that is the most hurting. Somebody that feels like they're odd man out. Somebody that maybe physically has something about them. Yes, somebody physically that has something about them that maybe would be a little distasteful to some circles. The Bible tells us, and it's one of my favorite passages of Scripture, that the Master prepared a great banquet. And he invited guests to come, but they continually made excuse. And he said, go out again, for my table will be full. No room. And he said, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, for my table will be full. And the highways and hedges, people, are the undesirables. I believe in Miami County and surrounding counties that God is assigning us here with our outreach to glean the fields. I think there was a degree, you may not agree with me theologically on this, and that's fine. That's not one of the prerequisites for getting to heaven. Agreeing with me. I believe there was, to a degree, a harvest throughout the 1900 period. If you were to add them up, it's unbelievable in the missionary outreaches through the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and the Billy Graham Crusades and all that, and the people that were saved. But I think we're now entering into a time where we're gleaning the fields, if you will receive that. We're gleaning the fields, and that's the highways and the hedges. My table will be full. Look for the undesirable, the unloved. And people say, well, boy, how are you going to make a ministry go? I've had people say that, unfortunately. Unfortunately, I've had people say at times in the past, not recently, but how you build a congregation? How are you going to pay for everything? You have those kind of people. I found out that if you do it God's way, he takes care of all that stuff. You reach out to the people that have nothing, and God will bring you somebody that has something. I've had times when we've reached out to five or six people, didn't have a dime in their name. In fact, we was loaning them so they could come. We was loaning money to them so they'd have gas to come to church. So they didn't have anything to put in the offering. And a total stranger, one of the time it was a doctor from our cancer team, sent $20,000. And God said, keep doing what you're doing. I'll take care of it. January, February, and March, to be thinking, who do I lead to Christ? Who can I take bread to? I found that bread. And I don't know why I feel this way. I don't know that I've said this in a message before. But I feel a real urgency to say this again. Hopefully I'm not belaboring it. But I think we have the idea sometimes that because we're new at this, because we've only been coming 3 months, because we're still having some struggles, that there's no way we could help anybody. You don't know what it'll do for you. I was about as troubled a young man as you could find. And God used me just a few weeks after I became a Christian. Just a few weeks after I became a Christian. I was instrumental in leading, I've shared with you before, I was instrumental in leading Bob Moore and Howard France to the Lord. That did more for my growth than anything I can think of. I never dreamed that 40 years later, Howard and I would be working together in the ministry at that time. I had all kind of issues myself, all kind of things I was going through myself. But God used me to witness to them on the Kroger Night Stock crew. And Howard worked at Square D, and Square D was laid off. And I'll always say that layoff was partially for Howard. Howard came and asked the manager at Kroger's if he could work the night shift. And they put him on the night shift, and he and I started working the same aisle together. He wasn't a Christian. We had run around together before that. And I was going through a very hard time, but had 8 hours often to work right with Howard. God will use you no matter if you're just getting started. Who who would you be instrumental in leading to Christ? So I'm going to close. One of the commitments I made, and you'll be glad to know this New Year's resolution, in 2013 was not to preach too long. You noticed if you were at service this morning that I set a timer for myself. To give it continuity, goals for 2013 to being led of the Spirit. I talked about that a lot this morning. Be easy to talk about that some more tonight, but I won't. Be led of the Spirit. Be Jesus to your family. Come on, guys. Step up the plate. Be the priest of the home. Be the intercessor. You need to get up for your kids and be praying for them. If you can make it through a high school, there's a young man sitting here that I especially am fond of, and I said this to him a few weeks ago. If you can be a Christian in high school, you can make it through anything. I believe that with all my heart. If you can be a Christian in American high school, you can make it through anything. If you have teenage kids here tonight, a number of you do, pray, fathers, you're the intercessor, you're the priest of the home, be praying for your family. They're dealing with difficult things. They're dealing with principalities and powers right there in the hall. There's movements and things going on in our among our young people that our young people are even unaware of in the area of principalities and powers. You're the priest of the home. Look your son or daughter right in the eye and tell them you're praying for them. I try to tell my kids constantly that I'm praying for them. My grandson, now that he's got a little outfit, I can text him. I text him almost every other day. I don't want to wear it out, but about every other day I say, I'm praying for you, Braxton. I am praying for you. I want to be a force in your life. Come on, guys. Come on, gals. Step up the plate. Moms, wives, you're to model God's love. How do kids get their concept of God? A child's likely to find a father in God if he's seen God in his father. And how do kids get the idea who God is? Well, it's through the unit of the parents. The father models leadership and the priesthood, and he models that side of God, and the mother, she does such a beautiful job of modeling unconditional love. Have you ever noticed that you can be a convict in jail and done the most awful thing in the world, and mom will say, he's a good boy. You ever notice that? A mother's love is a beautiful example of God's unconditional love. But it's through the combination of mother, father, and the parenting that we see what God is. God is teaching us right there hands-on what he is if it's proper and done the right way. So, being led of the Spirit, being Jesus to your family, lay hold of courage. That's the one I just feel God saying through me tonight. Lay hold of courage. There's such a need for that. Step out. Start in the morning. Into work in the morning. Say, Lord, before noon, give me an opportunity to speak out for you. Am I scared? Yeah, sweating bullets. I'm scared to death sometimes. Courage isn't absence of fear. It's stepping out despite fear. Stand up to the devil. In Jesus' name, when we get serious, he gets serious. And ask, who can I lead to Jesus this year? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, thank you for these patient people. Listen to my raving. Help them to be able to sort out even times when maybe I'm a little in your face, don't mean to be. Help them to glean the truth in what I'm saying. Lord, I believe you're wanting to stir a fire in us. I believe we're in a new season. I think you're getting ready to take us into the promised land. And it is a land of milk and honey. It is a land of beauty. Climbing up the mountain with you, Lord, the scenery's better every 1,000 feet. It's prettier. But there's also Jerichos, and they got walls around them, and there's giants. All of you. Be courageous to stand up against the enemy. I'd ask, Lord, that tonight there'd be people that leave here that have discussions within their family. I ask that very specifically. Be with us as we go from this place. Guide our thoughts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.